Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The Valdosta Church of Christ is located at 1119 Old Lee Highway, Tuscumbia, Alabama, 35674. We can be reached by phone at 256-381-0331. Anytime you are in the Tuscumbia area or Shoals area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. We have Bible class every Sunday at 9:30. Our worship service follows at 10:30. Evening services are at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word.
Minutes in spirit and in truth. Our inner person will be fully engaged in the worship. We'll be attuned to the truth, the Word of God. I'm reminded, as you are, that our Lord said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John chapter 17 and verse 17. That will always be the case. His truth will always, Chuck, be the truth. His truth will always be His word, and His word will always be the truth. We accept that, we love that, and we rejoice in that, my brethren and my friends. JP, thank you so much for leading our singing. And we'll sing another song or two before our time is up tonight. And I had failed yesterday to express my thanks to our song leaders yesterday. I want to correct that and do that tonight. And our thanks to both of our brothers, I believe Brother Greg yesterday morning, Brother Jimmy last night for leading our singing. And a great job on the part of both Greg and Jimmy and all of our song leaders yesterday afternoon at 2 p.m. And JP, no regrets at all. You did a great job as well. So thank you, Greg. Thank you, Jimmy. I see you back there, Jimmy. And thank you, Brother JP. Adam, thank you for the introduction. Kind of you, and we appreciate Brother Adam. I told Adam and Megan that before we met them in person, we saw he and the kids, he and Megan and the children on the computer, on Kenny's computer at their home, Kenny and Patricia. Y'all were looking at him last year as your local preacher, and you selected him, and I know it's a great selection, and he's doing a great work here, and you'll continue to work together in harmony and in truth. And so, Adam, my best to you. I know of Brother Adam's dad, Nat, a faithful preacher of the gospel, and we're delighted to know him and know the Evans family. And again, that connection to Pocahontas, I can't get enough of that, Adam. That's wonderful, wonderful indeed. And so I'm glad you get to look at the name from time to time. So, Talladega is a great place as well, my friend. So good to be with you. Brother Ed, thank you for the prayer we could all say amen to. Pleasure to work and worship with Brother Ed and Sister Faye again tonight, as well as last night. Ed was the faithful preacher here for, 27 years? 27 years. I thought I had a lot of time in. I've been at Shades Mountain 19 years and 3 months, but Brother Ed, you got me beat. Got me beat. And so you, brethren, have a great tradition of working well with faithful preachers. I commend you for that. It's great when congregations and preachers gel and jive and get along just as they ought to. Without any further ado, my brethren and my friends, our Bibles are open to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, here we go now. I want to begin with a quotation, and then we'll look at one verse in Philippians chapter 4. I want to share with you a quotation that I completely, 100% disagree with. You may think, Brother Mel, that's a little strange to begin with a disagreeable quote, but I hope you'll open your mind to this quote, open your ears to this quote, and consider it. It is from the actress Shirley MacLaine. Our middle-aged and older people will recognize the name Shirley MacLaine and a wonderful actress, but, you know, when you use that conjunction there, there's something negative coming, and there is. Many decades ago, Shirley MacLaine became a New Age activist. You're familiar with the New Age movement, its ties to false Eastern religions and worldviews. So this quote from the actress and New Age activist, Shirley MacLaine, in her book, Dancing in the Light. She said, and I quote, "Don't evaluate and don't let your left brain judge what you are thinking. Give your left brain more space. As a matter of fact, don't think." Adam, I told you I disagree with that. I know Brother Adam does, Brother Ed does, every preacher here, Brother Howell does. We disagree with this quotation. One more time, from the talented actress and yet faulty New Age activist, Brother Chuck, Shirley MacLaine. One more time. "Don't evaluate and don't let your left brain judge what you are thinking. Give your left brain more space. As a matter of fact," she says, Brother Mike, "don't think." Now, compare and contrast that with what you see before you. Hope you've got it in your Bible. Highlight it, mark it, underline it some way in your Bible. Circle it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 from the pen of the Apostle Paul. "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." I omitted some of the whatsoever's on purpose there, but listen to it one more time. Look at it, circle it, underline it, highlight it, mark it in your Bible, come back to it at the earliest opportunity. "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." The New King James Version says, Brother Kenny, "meditate on these things." I like the word "think," Brother Ed, even better. I don't have to think very long or hard to draw the conclusion that, Brother James, I disagree with Shirley MacLaine, and I agree wholeheartedly with the Apostle Paul. Anyone who would draw the conclusion that we shouldn't think is someone who is operating against their very nature. Brother Mel, what do you mean by that? Well, you and I have been created, Brother Jamie, in the very image of God. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, you know it. You know it. Some of you perhaps have memorized it long ago. From the pen of Moses, the book of beginnings, chapter 1, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, Brother Byron, verses 26 and 27. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, Brother Ron. What? Male and female created he them. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We bear the marks of our Maker. We've been created in the image of God Almighty. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." The beginning of the Jewish Shema, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Again, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And we've been created in the image of that one Lord, that one God. That is, Brother Adam, as you know, a moral image. It is a spiritual image. It is an intellectual image. And we could go on from there. All of those are components of our being created, Brother Roger, in the image of God. Therefore, for anyone to say, "Don't think, you don't need to think, give your left brain a break, just focus over on the right brain." First of all, I just want to share this with you quickly. I'll get on my psychology Coke box for just a second here. It's not even a proven fact, all the left brain, right brain psychology that's thrown out at us anyway. There's a lot of psychobabble there. And I don't say that to deride legitimate psychology. But any psychological profile, Brother Howell, that says, don't think, I want to discard that. I want to kick that to the curb. I'm going with Paul. I'm going with the Apostle Paul. I'm going with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And brethren and friends, I intend to think every day of my life that I have the privilege to think. And when I'm unable to think, well, Brother Hal, I hope there'll be some family members. We've got our three daughters. How y'all have the one daughter, Hannah? And another one? And a son. Well, I hope you're a son and daughter, Brother Hal. And we hope our three daughters, Hallie, McKenna, and Connor, well, when we can't think, we hope they'll do some thinking for us. And I believe they will. And we believe we've trained them up right to do just that. That's your hope and prayer, even as it is mine. A little bit longer introduction, but to get us geared in the right direction for the body of our sermon tonight, under the title, the full title, not on the screen, the full title, The Thinking Christian. You and I are thinking Christians. In fact, I took that title from the title of a publication our brethren used to put out in the 1940s and 50s. The late Brother J.D. Bales put out a publication. I have a number of them in my archives in my study at the church building, called The Thinking Christian. Some wonderful material, Brother Ed, on apologetics, on evidences for God, and Jesus is the Son of God, and the Bible is the Word of God. And that title, decades ago when I came across those, it clicked with me. The Thinking Christian. That is who we are, Brother Jay, and who we better be. So tonight, with that title before you, with that introduction before you, The Thinking Christian, here's what we want to do. Tonight I want us to take the word think that you've already seen on the screen before you, and I want us to approach the word think in acrostic fashion, allowing each of the five letters of the word think represent a duty that we have as thinking Christians. We'll look at all five. We won't belabor a point, but we won't skip over anything too quickly either. We'll look at all five, T-H-I-N-K. We'll put an amen to it, and the sermon will be yours. Point number one tonight, my brethren and my friends, under the title of The Thinking Christian, the T in think, you and I have the duty to test every thought. Again, we're approaching think in acrostic fashion, allowing each of the letters to represent a duty that we have as thinking Christians. We have the duty, point number one, the T, Brother Jerry, to test every thought. You know where I'm going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Now that is a verse you better have marked in your Bible. I don't say that in a ugly way, like if you don't, I'm going to hold you after services or something like that. I don't have any authority, brethren, like that. My authority is just the Word of God. But circle it, underline it, highlight it, mark it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Brother Robert, here is what Paul said in the long ago. First, from the King James Version, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The Greek term translated prove in the King James is dokimazo. Dokimazo. That word, when you look it up in a Greek lexicon, means to test, to put to the test. And so insert that idea that is in many more recent translations, Brother Kenny, we're to do what? Test all things, hold fast that which is good. That is our duty. That is our obligation. And it follows, Brother JP, if we are obligated to test all things and only hold fast to that which is good, then we certainly ought to test every thought. Now, you know and I know, point number one, well, Adam, it's a big job. That's a big task, testing every thought, holding fast that which is good, testing all things, holding fast that which is good, a big job. We don't always do it as faithfully as we ought to, but we can repent. We can make it right. We can get right with God. We can do what we ought to do. And so my challenge to you is to test every thought and do so under the broader, larger umbrella of testing all things and holding fast that which is good. The idea of proving or testing things is thoroughly biblical. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 13:5 and then 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm quoting from the Old King James. Sometimes I'll quote from the New King James, but you'll be able to follow along without any difficulty whatsoever. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Here's what Paul wrote to the church of God in Corinth. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Watch it now. Prove your own selves. Guess what? The word prove there, Matthew, is dokimazo. What? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Test your own selves. Same Greek word we found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Let's look at another occurrence. Again, the idea of testing, of proving things, and particularly of testing every thought as a duty to be a thinking Christian. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Are you there? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Here is what John had to say. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Look at that. Why, John? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Oh, Brother James, I wish our brethren believed that today. Many false prophets have indeed gone out into the world, and therefore we don't need to accept, Brother Jay, just what so-and-so says, or this idea, or that view. We're not ugly. We're trying to be kind. I remind you, our Lord said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you all love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. So we engage people with love. We engage them, Brother James, with kindness and sincerity, but we engage them boldly as bold believers in the body, members of the body of Christ. And so we don't accept what someone says necessarily. We, Brother Ron, compare it and contrast it with the very Word of God. 1 John 4, 1, one more time now. Beloved, believe not every spirit. In that day, there were those who would have claimed a spiritual gift. That seems to be the import of John's words there in that first century setting. There would have been those claiming a spiritual gift or this spiritual ability. John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test, dokimazo, try, prove the spirits, whether they be of God, because, John says, Brother Blake, many false prophets have gone out into the world. That is our job. I, like you, am proud of being created in the very image of my God, of bearing the marks of my Maker, of being a thinking Christian, and I take that seriously, my brethren and my friends, and therefore I desire to test every thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this will probably be the longest of our points tonight, so hang in there with me. Point one of 5 points tonight under the title of the thinking Christian. Back to 2 Corinthians, now chapter 10 and verse 5. We were at 13:5 a moment ago, now 10:5. Listen to what you see. Look at what you see right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Now, let me interrupt myself to say the Greek term translated imaginations in the Greek is the word for arguments, and best translated arguments. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Watch it now. Closing clause of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians verse 5. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is a powerful verse. Casting down arguments and every high thing. Chuck, you can picture it. Here are people in the world. They're throwing out all these false arguments, denying the existence of God, denying that Jesus is the Son of God, thus denying His deity, denying that the Bible is the Word of God. And we could go on and on and on, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is what this is all about. Now, I'm going to offer you my judgment here. You accept it as my judgment. I wouldn't be ugly about it, but I don't mind telling you, I was a little bothered by all the accolades paid to the late Dr. Stephen Hawking. The man was an opponent of Christianity, a fervent opponent of Christianity. 3-4 years ago, something like that, I read a biography, a short biography of Dr. Hawking. I just wanted to learn a little bit more about his life. Just a couple of evenings after supper, I could plow through that. Wasn't a whole lot to it, for that matter. But this is a man who denied that God existed, who denied the power of prayer and any connection it might have to what we might call the metaphysical, the supernatural, to God Himself. This is a man, again, for the second time, who was a fervent opponent of Christianity and all the good that God's people have done through the ages. Oh, he was so great. Oh, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Not at all, my brethren and my friends. You can attain all the celebrity, Kenny, you want to in this life. Here is a man who received the accolades for all of his knowledge, all of his wisdom, yet what? That dude wasn't testing every thought. Not at all. That dude wasn't testing every thought, or he would have drawn different conclusions, Brother Jason, than what he did. Why? Why test every thought? Closing verse, point one of 5 points tonight. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. There is a sense, hear me out now, there is a sense, I don't want to, you know, sometimes you can push, Brother Howe, a parable beyond its intended purpose. I'm a firm believer, Brother Ed, in biblical typology, but sometimes someone will push a type beyond what we have revealed in the Word of God. We've got to be careful here. But there is a sense in which we are what we think. And we can ground that in a number of verses, not the least of which is J.P., Proverbs 23 and verse 7. As a man, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. We are what we think. Let us test every thought. When we fail to do so, let us come back and make that right. If I may quickly here before point number two. You and I sin. When we sin via our actions. We sin via our words. And we sin through our thoughts. I want to ask you to do this for me, not asking for your audible response. Turn it over in your mind. Into which of those categories do you sin the most? Through your actions, through your words, or through your thoughts? But remember this, Brother Mike, you know it already. It begins in the thoughts. It begins in the mind. That's where it begins. And oftentimes, and reread Matthew 15 at your leisure, but oftentimes it expresses itself in words that are wrong, in actions that are sinful, and we need to make it right. Let's get back to testing our thoughts. Point number two, and the H in think, helmet your head. Point number two, and the H in our word think, under the title of the thinking Christian. Helmet your head. And by that, you know what I mean. We're going to plow that ground again. We're talking about the whole armor of God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to skip around a little bit. But let's begin in verse 10. of Ephesians chapter 6. Here's what Paul said, finally, my brethren, beginning with verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Man, I love that. Let's say it again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. One more time. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then we have verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Today we might translate that the stratagems of the devil. For we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual beings in high places. Ephesians 6, 10, 11, and 12. Go back to verse 11. You see it? Back to verse 11. My brethren and my friends, watch it now. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the craftiness, the stratagems of the devil. What is that armor? You know what it is, and you know where it is. Look at verses 14 through 17. Let me use my hands to illustrate as you look up and back and forth from your Bible. Watch it now. Ephesians chapter 6, 14 and following, brethren and friends. Standing there with your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet, there's our picture there, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Standing, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As a thinking Christian, we must helmet our head. And we must shod our feet. And we must cover our loins. And we must have on the breastplate of righteousness. And we must take the shield of faith in our left hand, I'll say. And the sword of the Spirit in our right hand. And we've got offensive and defensive weaponry. And we are ready to do battle because we're going to fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. That's what we're called to do. You and I are thinking Christians. We're going to test every thought and we're going to helmet our heads by equipping ourselves with the whole armor of God. And we're going to do that we might again stand against the wiles, the craftiness, the stratagems of the devil. Sadly, JP, the devil is alive and well. I mean, you can't get rid of that dude. I mean, he just keeps coming back. We're told in Luke's account of the temptation, how you know this as well or better than I do, in Luke's account, he left him for a season. Just a season. Now the devil leaveth him in Matthew's account, and verse 11, behold, angels came and ministered, served him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. But in Luke's account, the devil left him for a season. I am convinced, my brethren, that the devil will on occasion, and he'll leave us for a season. Maybe, JP, a half a season or a quarter season. But that dude keeps coming back. So we got to have that armor. Well, it feels pretty heavy, Brother Mel. That helmet is hot. I can't breathe good. And I feel better with sandals on than having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, Brother Mel, you've been a little silly. Yeah, I am. But to make our point, we might think, Brother Matthew, we're a little uncomfortable with all that armor on. I can't really love like I need to because I got all this armor on. Wrong. I can't really be benevolent, Adam, because I got all this armor on. Wrong. Having that armor on allows us to be benevolent, allows us to love, allows us to cherish, allows us to endear ourselves to others and them to endear themselves to us. Never take off the armor of God. Put it on and leave it on. Keep it on, because the devil will keep coming back. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. I was hoping I wasn't going to have to do this, but I'm telling you what, brother, I'm going to have to chuck this jacket. I'm keeping my armor of God on, but I'm taking the jacket off. I'm about to melt down up here. Woo! I'm about to sweat like a lawn sprinkler. Oh my. There we go. I feel better already. Now I want you to know, the jacket is off, that armor of God is still on. We're going to keep that on. All right. Here we are now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Brethren and friends, here's what Paul wrote. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Why? For we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of the devices of the devil, but he is looking, Brother James, for an advantage. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And we can't allow that to happen. So what do we do? Well, Brother Wallace, we're wary of him. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 2:11, connected with 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. One more time, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, diabolos, walketh about as a lion, seeking whom he may drink down. Literally, the Greek says to gulp or drink down. The English word devour is a good translation. Are you familiar with Job chapter 1? Connect 2 Corinthians 2:11 to 1 Peter 5:8. And quickly, as we wind down point number 2 of 5 points tonight at 15 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, take a quick gander at Job chapter 1 and verse 7. Job 1 and verse 7, the Lord said to Satan, the King James says, whence comest thou? Where did you come from? Job chapter 1 and verse 7. And Satan answered our Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down in it, Job 1 and verse 7. I hope you'll make a connection again, Job 1, 7, with 1 Peter 5:8, with 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, and all of that connected back to Ephesians chapter 6, 10 and following, but primarily verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the stratagems of the devil. The devil is out there. He's active. He's up and down. He's back and forth. He's here and he is there. And we best be thinking Christians and helmet our heads. Point number 3. Of 5 points tonight. The eye, imagine great things. A very short point. Stay with me. 3 verses. We'll go to point number 4 of 5 points tonight. The thinking Christian is one who tests every thought, who helmets his or her head, and who imagines great things. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 20, here's what my Bible says and yours, Brother Byron, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now that is a very good literal translation. There are some more recent translations that render the Greek term that the King James has as think, and that is the best translation, but there are some more recent translations that use the word imagination. Look at it there. And think about it relative to point number 3 tonight. The eye in think, Brother Blake, the thinking Christian imagines great things unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or imagine according to the power that worketh in us. Ask or think. Ask or imagine. JP, I can think some pretty big things. I can imagine some pretty big things. Why should we imagine great things? There's our question for point number 3. Why imagine great things as a thinking Christian? Because we serve a great God. Go with me to Psalm 147 and verse 5. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Here's what the psalmist said in the long ago. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. We serve a great God, and thus we can imagine great things, my brethren and my friends. Now, Brother Howe, you know we go to that verse oftentimes to highlight, and rightly so, the omniscience, the all-knowing attribute of God. Great is the Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite. I certainly invite you to note that verse and note, you know, those omni attributes, I'll call it that, Brother Jay, the omni attributes of God. Here is one of those omni attributes of God, the omniscience, the all-knowing nature of God, Psalm 147 and verse 5. And there is a New Testament equivalent, I believe. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. 1 John 3:20 combined with Psalm 147 and verse 5. But both of the verses are not only, Brother Mike, not only passages ratifying the omniscience of God, but both highlight the greatness of our God. Finally, point number 3, Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 19. Our Lord has just exorcised demons out of the man known as Legion. You remember the account. They're cast into swine. They run over the cliff. They perish. That is in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. That is an exciting story. They could not bind Matthew, that individual, with chains. All the demons within his person, within his body, gave him a great strength. And so their attempts to bind him were none effect. No effect whatsoever. But look at Mark 5:19. This man has been cleansed. He has been purged of the demons. He wants to travel with our Lord. You'll read that in the context. Our Lord's response is found in verse 19. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. I absolutely love that verse. Go home to thy friends. I believe there's, Brother Howell, an evangelistic ring to that. Go home to thy friends. I know, Mr. Legion, you want to travel with me, but our Lord says, no can do. You go home to your friends and you tell them, Jonathan, you tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Indeed, we can imagine great things, brethren, because we serve a great God. I hope you believe that. I believe you believe that. I know you believe that. And serving a great God, we live a great life. We live a life imagining great things. Oftentimes, Mike, we're our own worst enemy. We get in our way. We are the hurdle that is in front of our own progress. We can't make any headway because we're the wind blowing ourselves back. Sometimes we've got to get out of our own way and get in God's way and allow God to be the great God He is as He always is, and let us imagine great things. What could you do in the kingdom this year? You as a child of God, as a Christian, as a member of the Church of Christ, or a citizen in the kingdom of God. You're a member of the body of Christ. And you can look at that body analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that is rich indeed, my brethren and my friends. What could you do through the remainder of this year? This is what? The second day of April. April the 2nd. May the 2nd. June the 2nd, July the 2nd, August the 2nd, September the 2nd, October the 2nd, November the 2nd, December the 2nd, all the way, January the 2nd, wrap it all around. What could you do? Get out of your own way, get in the way of the Lord the right way, test every thought. Helmet your head, wear the whole armor of God, and recognize that you serve a great God, the only God, and thus you imagine and you think great things. Point number four of 5 points tonight, about 8 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Nourish your mind, the end of think. The thinking Christian will nourish his or her mind. Years ago, Brother Hal, I bought a book, not a little thin paperback, not by a brother in Christ, the late Dr. John Stott. And he's passed on. Not a member of the church. Let me say that again. The volume is titled, Your Mind Matters. It's a good little book, even though it wasn't written by a member of the Lord's church. Your Mind Matters, still in print. The book was good, but Adam, the title is even better. Your Mind Matters. My Mind Matters. Brother Kenny, our minds matter. And thus, one of the duties we have, the acrostic think, considering the word think in acrostic fashion, we ought to nourish, we have the duty to nourish our minds. Indeed, we do. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 in your Bible and in mine, my brethren and my friends. Nourish your minds. Matthew chapter 22. Then we'll go to Romans chapter 12. Then we'll quickly go to Hebrews chapter 8. And then we'll go to our fifth and final point tonight. Thank you for your time, your presence, your attendance, your careful consideration of the Word of God. Point number four of 5 points tonight. The thinking Christian is one who nourishes his or her mind. Matthew 22, 36 and following. A lawyer from among the Pharisees. After our Lord has put the Sadducees on the run, this dude wants to take a run at our Lord himself. And so a lawyer from among the Pharisees wants to take a crack at the Lord. And so he says, verse 36 and following, Master, which is the great commandment in the law, our Lord doesn't skip a beat, Brother Chuck. He says, watch it now, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. In Luke's account it says, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and our Lord was quoting there from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, and then he says the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Our Lord was quoting scripture there, Leviticus 19, 18, and then in verse 40 he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Matthew 22, 36 through 40 from the Old King James translation. Brethren and friends, there you go. Frequently, our Lord responded to people with questions. I read this from the pen of Brother Wayne Jackson that our Lord asked 225 different questions that we have a record of in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm not going to challenge that and count those on my own, Hal, but I'm going to accept that. I don't doubt it at all. I've been in the Gospels my whole life, almost all my 58 years on this earth. I've been in the Gospels. I believe it. If that's right, our Lord, as part of his teaching, did what? He asked a lot of questions. 225 questions, different questions that we have a record of in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Our Lord, in asking those questions frequently, and even when he wasn't asking a question for that matter, JP, he would quote scripture. Away with this idea that the preacher doesn't need to know the Word of God, doesn't need to quote it. I've told you before, my maternal grandfather, the late F.W. Gould, Frank Gould, was a gospel preacher for 62 years. He was the preacher at the Pyburn Street Church of Christ in Pocahontas, Arkansas, that Brother Adam has mentioned and I have, where I was born and raised and where Sister Megan was. My grandfather was the preacher there on four different occasions, Hal, at that congregation, two during my lifetime. And Brother Ed may have known my grandfather. I know your preaching Brother Sidney knew my grandfather. And let me tell you, that man quoted the book, and I cut my teeth under his tutelage, if you will. And if I used a note or anything, I was afraid I was going to get Jack slapped upside the head. I'll just tell you. You know, I was fearful of that. This is a man who believed that, preacher, if you're doing your job, if you're getting into the Word, you're going to quote the book. our Lord quoted the book. Paul quoted the book. And two quotes right here in Matthew 22. Now that's a little tangent there, but back on here, nourish your mind. Our Lord quoted Deuteronomy 6:5, Leviticus 19:18, and in the Deuteronomy 6:5 quote, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy emotional being, with all thy soul, all thy spiritual being, with all thy mind, with all thy intellectual being. In Luke's account, with all thy strength, all thy physical being. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let us nourish our minds. What are you reading right now? You think about what you're reading. Well, I just got the latest issue of Brother Mel of this or that. That's fine and dandy. But are you reading more in this volume or that volume than you are in the Word of God? And if so, I want to ask you, my brother, my sister, what's gotten into you? What's going on? What do you need to correct? You should never read more in any volume. You may have to read for your work. Good for you. We have to keep our jobs. Read for your work, but don't read anything more than you read the Word of God. Nourish your mind in a number of ways, but always, Brother Ed alluded to this in our prayer earlier, Brother Ed, and thank you for that. We've got to always be in the Word. Nourish your mind in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. Don't get out of the Word. Stay in the Word. Get into the Word tonight before you pillow your head. The last thing you ought to do before you pray to God, pray to the Father in the name of the Son, and pillow your head is in the Word. Last night, before Shane and I pillowed our heads, I was actually reviewing in my mind my thoughts for tonight. I wanted that to be the last thing, our sermon tonight, the last thing in my head last night. And it was the first thing in my head this morning. Well, now, Brother Mel, you're a preacher. I am, but nourish your mind in the Word of God. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. What? Don't be conformed to the world, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The mind is the center, the seat of our intellectual, our reasoning ability, brethren and friends. Therefore, to renew our minds is to renew our ability to think biblically, spiritually, about moral matters and spiritual matters. And the renewed mind is always controlled by the Word of God. The renewed mind is always under the influence and control of the Word of God. Hebrews 8 and verse 10, as we wind down point number 4. Hebrews 8 and verse 10, where the Hebrew writer is quoting from Jeremiah of old. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Watch it now. Hebrews 8:10. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Is that what we think? I mean, God is our God. Do we view it like that? I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. Do we view ourselves as the people of God? I hope we do. I was late last fall, I think maybe my last gospel meeting of last year, I was at the South Jackson Church of Christ, Brother Ed in Jackson, Tennessee, where Brother Ray Pack is their faithful preacher. Before the meal one night, Shane and I and a number of their members were at the Catfish Cabin. Brother Adam knows about that. The Catfish Cabin. You want some good catfish. This has nothing to do with the thinking Christian. But we're also eating Christians. And so you want some good catfish, the Catfish Cabin. We were there and we were talking Bible and we had had a public prayer before we ate. Our waitress came up and she said, I can tell y'all are Jesus people. Now, Adam, I probably wouldn't have put it like that. But she said, I can tell y'all are Jesus people. And I said, well, thank you, girl. And we add a little bit extra to the tip there. And the food was good. But the Catfish Cabin, brethren and friends, let's be the people of Jesus. One more time, Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Then point number 5, and finally, because our time is already up, and I want to be careful with our time, going a little bit over tonight, Forgive me for that. Going just a little bit over now. Hebrews 8:10, one more time. This is the covenant. Diatheke is the Greek word, also rendered a testament. Diatheke. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. How does God write His laws in our minds? Is that a miracle? No, siree, Bob. You got to get into the Word. You got to nourish your mind on the Word of God. And in nourishing your mind on the Word of God, God puts His laws in our minds. And then we can draw it. There's an old song. I'm trying to think, Brother Howe. I think it's by the old group. They hadn't been around in years. I think the old country group, Shenandoah. And he talks about shaking the hand of the man who grips the gospel gun. Brother friends, that's it right there. That's it right there. And we ought to know the book, know the gospel enough where we shake one another's hands. We're shaking the hands of men and women who grip the gospel gun because God's laws are in our minds. Point number five. And finally tonight, keep on learning. Keep on learning. The K in think, the thinking Christian will test every thought, helmet his head, imagine great things, nourish his mind on the Word of God, and keep on learning. We ought to be lifelong learners. Never stop learning more about the Word of God. Again, back to my late preaching grandfather. In his last year of life, Ed, he was still getting into the Word of God. He preached up until the last year of his life. Still get learning new things every day, nourishing his mind on the Word of God, kept on learning the Word of God. That was an example to me, a good example, a right example as a young gospel preacher at the time. And I will take that with me all the days of my life. Our Lord, incarnate, in the flesh, Luke 2:52, we alluded to this verse last night, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Keep on learning like our Lord did. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Keep on learning indeed. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3, 4, keep on learning. Paul believed that the Ephesians could read Adam what he wrote, understand what he wrote, and have his knowledge drawn in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3 and verse 4. One more time, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Keep on learning. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Keep on learning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Keep on learning. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep on learning. And I believe that I could take 30 more minutes and quote one verse after another, and it would be a verse about keep on learning. And if I faltered, I think, well, Brother Howe could jump up here and fill the gap. Keep on learning. Be a lifelong learner of the Word of God. You might be surprised to know, and I don't know the exact number, but how many people have come to me and said, yeah, Brother Mel, I read the Bible once. It was a pretty good book. Really? Good night, nurse. What's wrong with you? Read it one time, pretty good book. Yeah, oh yeah. Keep on learning. Keep going back to the book. What are you reading now in preparation for your Bible class on Wednesday nights? What are you reading in preparation for your Bible class on Sunday morning? Have you reviewed the sermon notes from Brother Adam's sermon this past Lord's Day, Brother Ed's, Brother Howell's, Brother Byron's, other preachers in our assembly tonight? Have you reviewed those notes from those sermons that those preachers preached this last Lord's Day? What are you studying individually, privately, in the privacy of your own home? Keep on learning, my brethren and my friends. Remember what I said a moment ago with the previous point. Nourish your mind. Your mind matters. I heard a long time ago someone say, whatever, listen to me now, whatever gets your mind gets you. That's true. Whatever gets your mind gets you. We sing a song, or we did when I was a boy at VBS How, wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. Brethren and friends, we better be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. We better be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in God. We better be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the Word of God. We better be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up, Brother Benny, in Christianity, New Testament Christianity. We better be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the church, because if we're not, we're wrapped up, Wallace, tied up and tangled up in something else. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have other interests. I went through a phase years ago where I loved to do some roping. I had a quarter horse, a couple saddles, and enjoyed that. But I was never wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in that. Well, sometimes I didn't get my loop right, and I got wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in my own loop. You talk about looking silly. I am so grateful, Brother Adam, that no one has a video. This was prior to social media, of Mel missing the loop, you know, right up here, got the fingers right and all that. Next thing you know, I'm wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Mel and Mel in his loop. Oh, my. Ooh, that is not a pretty picture. But you have your interest. You enjoy this and that. I mean enjoy it. It's your recreation. It's your downtime. It's your entertainment. Enjoy it. But only be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the things of God. You are a thinking Christian. But tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can become one and can become a thinking Christian and join us as we test every thought and helmet our heads and imagine great things and nourish our minds and keep on learning. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. Won't you be called a Christian tonight? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, but let none of you suffer as what? If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but rather let him glorify God in this name. What name? The name Christian. And then back to the middle one, Acts 26 and verse 28, where King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Don't be almost persuaded tonight. Be fully persuaded, as we do every night. I'm going to be over here. Brother Adam's going to be over here. And we're here for you. If we can come to you, you raise your hand and we'll be right there, Johnny, on the spot. Let us know how we might help you in putting Jesus on in baptism tonight, being raised to walk in newness of life, and becoming Christianos, becoming one who belongs to Christ. If that sounds good to you, it sounds great to me. Won't you come right now as together we stand and as we sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the Valdosta Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at 256-381-0331.